Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Vanderbilt, the story of the weekend in sports, much less college football, taking down Alabama. And help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning.
You said taking down Alabama, and I said, we'll take you down to Alabama.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, Gentry.
We will go down.
Gentry, down in Alabama, seeing the after effects of the big loss.
Gentry, do you
how is it down there?
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So there's a lot to kind of sift through here in the aftermath of all that. I want to start. Gentry, I think the most shocking thing to me, and I was at the Preds game watching this all take place on Saturday. And by the time the second quarter rolled around, I just looked down the row on Media Row and I looked at Alex Dory and I said, Alabama can't stop them. Like, they cannot stop that Vanderbilt offense. And that was true throughout the course of the entire game. I was blown away by the game plan Vanderbilt had, the execution of the offense, and that part of it. I mean, there's nothing fluky about it. That offense of Vanderbilt kicked the butt of Alabama for 60 minutes.
Yeah, and I think you can tell a lot of the national narrative on this was always going to be Nick Saban's not at Alabama anymore, and this is, you know, the first indication of the empire finally crumbling, and maybe so. But those who actually did watch this game had to be impressed with how Vanderbilt won it. Yeah, like you said, this wasn't an accident. I mean, you could tell early on there were indicators of how Vanderbilt could win this game, but I sat there and watched it for about 3 hours just waiting on that moment where Vanderbilt was going to Vanderbilt up the situation and find a way to lose, or Alabama was going to get something done. It just didn't occur to me, you know, that this was real until right to the very end that you finally say, you know what, this is actually really going to happen. Even as you said, even early in the game, there were indications that Alabama was having a really hard time dealing with what Vanderbilt was doing offensively. And, you know, Vanderbilt's defense is still susceptible to the big play.
Yep.
And, you know, you saw that too. But that's an opportunistic group. They do force turnovers, and the two that they forced were both huge in the course of that game. And, you know, it's pretty – I've been to a lot of games, and I've been surprised a lot, but this was certainly up there in terms of just how shocked I was.
Well, no doubt about that. It was unbelievable to watch happen. And another example, and this is the most extreme example, obviously, Gentry, but Diego Pavia and his impact on that offense. Number one, I think the attitude and the belief that he brings with him. But then number two, the execution, right? I mean, look, he completed 16 out of 20 passes. He threw for 250 yards, two touchdowns. We know what the threat he is in the running game. I mean, that was high-level football that he played in that game on Saturday. He has been unbelievable to watch for this team.
Diego Pavia, and I remember when New Mexico State went to Auburn and won last year, and I remember watching that game and thinking it at the time. Pavia is that guy who may not impress you for a lot of the game, certainly throwing the ball, but when it gets to about fourth and three, he's going to have his best pass of the whole game, and you know that's going to happen. The clutch factor with this guy is just unreal. The play he made on fourth down, that was probably the biggest play of the game, was a touchdown pass. And he's going off his first read. It felt almost impromptu what he did. And he does that about as well as anyone. I mean, you don't want to compare a guy to Johnny Manziel. It's a different player, different level. But that's what it's like, a guy who can just make plays and kind of rally his team around him. And yeah, it's really nothing new. Everybody's kind of waking up to the idea of what Vanderbilt has here. But even going back to the preseason, you could get that sense. He'd been with the team maybe 10 minutes, and he was already voted the team captain, and you had all the teammates talking about what he meant to them. And it's a mentality that's infectious around a team that was already being doubted anyway and being told how there's so many things they can't do just because they're Vanderbilt. And it kind of fits Pavia. He's a guy who – you know, had to walk onto a JUCO and has always been told he wasn't, you know, going to be able to make it at this level as a quarterback. And, you know, it's been a remarkable fit, especially when you bring in his coaches from New Mexico State and a lot of his teammates. That's a pretty comfortable situation.
So what does Clark Lee do to ensure this isn't a one-off glory moment for the university and that it is, in fact, a major building block?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's – you go to Kentucky, I think a lot of what happened to Alabama this weekend, too, was – I mean, look, they had such a big win over Georgia, they were going to come out flat, and you could kind of expect that. And I think they took Vanderbilt lightly, and I'm not so sure people are going to be taking Vanderbilt lightly the rest of the season. They still have a very tough schedule, and I don't think they're going to sneak up on anybody anymore after what happened. So it's certainly fair to wonder, you know, how can they build on this? And I do think they need to build on this. The idea, you know, everybody talked about what Nick Saban said on the Pat McAfee show of him saying Vanderbilt was the easiest place to play in the league because you have more fans than they do. Nick Saban wasn't wrong. I mean, that's how it is. And it's not just for Alabama. Most of the SEC or big-time teams that come into that stadium do that. Virginia Tech had more fans than Vanderbilt. So I feel like there's still a level of consistency they need to show and prove this wasn't just a flash-in-the-pan kind of moment to be able to get fans to consistently want to come out and support the program. So it's a heck of an opportunity for them. And it does feel like everyone's kind of treated this as a lifetime milestone kind of victory. And you know what? It doesn't have to be. They have some big games left on the schedule. And, you know, again, for a team that's been doubted and told it what it can't do, you go beat the number one team in the country, and now anything seems possible. So they could, you know, if there's more confidence here, who knows what this team is capable of.
Gentry, on that front, I said this yesterday on the show. To me, that environment Saturday night and the aftermath of it, everything, is a perfect example of why investing in athletics matters. And we've talked about this with Vanderbilt, right? Like it's taken them a long time to get to this point, and they finally, you know, with NIL and the transfer portal and certainly the facilities that are under construction over there, they're starting to enter into that modern era of athletics. But Saturday night, I think a good example of what athletics can do for a program, particularly in football, when you come away with a win like that. And like this one does feel different, right? Like Vanderbilt's had some ranked wins. They've had some good seasons. They've not had anything that approaches what we saw on Saturday night. And I'm interested moving forward here to see what that does for investment level in the program, what that does for fan interest in the program, and then ultimately, what does it do for Clark Lee and recruiting? Like, they've already had one recruit flip in the aftermath of that to go that they've landed. I'm really interested to see, like, the tangible impact of kind of building that program and taking that next step, what it looks like, and what a win like that can do for it.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, I think it kind of does go back to you need to be able to sustain it a little bit. If they don't win another game this year, I think you lose a lot of the goodwill here. But at the same time, one of the reasons, and if you look back at the end of last season, they were really in a bad way. I mean, they had gone 2-10, lost 10 games in a row. You know, people were looking at the schedule this season and going, you know, what do you do with this? And, you know, they had all these new players, new coaches. And I feel like one of the big reasons that Vanderbilt was able to get to this point so quickly is the NIL discussion. They got a little more serious about that in terms of what they needed to do to keep up in the SEC. And I mean, that's really, I think when you look at college sports right now and you want to say, gosh, how are they doing this? The answer almost always is going to be NIL because it's something that you have to do. And if you get serious about doing, you can get a lot better real quick. And certainly in the transfer portal, which is what Vanderbilt did. They brought in some awfully good players to replace the guys they lost. I feel like they were able to change the culture very, very quickly. If you're able to keep doing that and continue to keep up NIL-wise, then Vanderbilt, everyone has always looked at Vanderbilt as, gosh, how are they going to keep up in terms of NIL? You know, they don't support the program the way this and that. Vanderbilt has an alumni base with some money, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never understood why Vanderbilt would be at a disadvantage in a city like Nashville with a lot of opportunities that wouldn't exist in, say, Starkville, Mississippi. So I've never understood that. I've always felt like if Vanderbilt really got serious about this, they could be a lot better than they are athletically. And while I don't think they're doing some of the things that your top programs are doing still, I feel like from the time I've been here the last 5 years, they have gotten a lot more serious. They've done a lot more work with their facilities. They've really stepped it up in NIL. I think Candace Lee deserves a lot of credit for that in terms of understanding what was they weren't doing and what they needed to do to be more successful. As much of a pain as it is to go over there and deal with the construction and have to walk through mazes to get anywhere, I've always said I'm not going to complain about it because I was one of the people writing about how bad the facilities were and how they needed to upgrade it. Say, hey, that's what they're doing. So that's you can certainly see the progress, even as the construction, you know, nobody likes dealing with it.
Can you get a real feel on a day like Saturday for what it's going to be like when it's done?
A little bit. I don't know if you've been out there. It's half done. One side of the suites on the as you're sitting in the press box, the suites on the left side are done, and it looks pretty good. They've got a big screen up there, and you know, so if you're looking one direction, you're like, hey, looks pretty good, and they look in the other direction, it's not finished at all, and they're working on that side. It's, you know, just even after the game, from a media standpoint, you got to get to the interviews across the street. Well, that's not an easy thing to do right now, to get across the street, because they've torn up everything, you know, so you got to walk through the back of the baseball stadium and do all it's you do get a sense, you have more of a sense this year than you've had, but no, it's not a finished product. And I think it will be nice once they get it done, but I tell you, they haven't really been in a hurry with it.
No doubt. Gentry, really great stuff as always. Appreciate your taking time to be with us. Enjoyed your coverage of this on Saturday night, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Enjoyed it. Good job being there. I felt you felt it coming. I felt you felt it coming.
That's right. No doubt. Rex Road did not. Tough one,
yeah,
for old
Rex
Joe.
Rex Road, really bad showing by Joe. Was he already in Florida?
He was.
Oh, God.
He left that day, then ended up missing the game of the century.
I mean,
at Vanderbilt.
It's really just I think we should lay off. It's just elder abuse.
615.
Gout abuse.
1025. Our phone number. We'll react to what Gentry had to say. Take more of your thoughts on Vanderbilt's upset against Alabama. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.